This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Divorce and Legal Channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Mrs. Stacy Bollier Fawcett, an esteemed and highly involved member of the local legal community. In her marital and family law practice, Mrs. Bollier Fawcett is committed to protecting her clients' rights and serving their children's best interests. Mrs. Bollier Fawcett, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. So for starters, when a couple with children decides to divorce, what criteria should they look for when hiring a lawyer?
Well, when hiring a divorce attorney, you really want to make sure that you're getting just that, a divorce attorney. You don't want an attorney who does a little bit of criminal law, a little bit of trust and estate, a little bit of personal injury, and a little bit of family law. So you definitely want an attorney who practices exclusively in that, what is called marital and family law, that's the umbrella of the divorce law, that practices exclusively in that area. The other thing you want to look for is many states have some sort of board certification for different areas of law. For example, board certification in marital and family law. And that's a credential that you want to look for because that designates them as an expert or as a specialist in that field. So you want to look for those types of credentials in your divorce attorney, family law attorney. The other things are more personal, such as really finding someone that you're comfortable with. Divorce, as we all know, is a very, very difficult time. It's very emotional. You're going to spend a lot of time with this divorce attorney. They're going to know the ins and outs and all the pitfalls of your marriage, issues with your children. And you really want to make sure you're comfortable with that person because the results of this process will affect you and your children for the rest of your lives. So you want to make sure you get a good choice, a good person that you feel really comfortable with to walk through that process with you.
And how can parents who are divorcing take the best care of their children, and what would be the best steps here?
You know, the first seems obvious, but it's not when you're in that emotional state of a divorce. So, you know, it's really not to involve your children in the divorce process, which sounds basic enough. You know, you may say, hey, well, of course I wouldn't do that. But when you're actually experiencing a divorce and when you're going through it, you're so emotional. You're so distraught. It feels hopeless. It seems hopeless. And somehow the kids just get drawn into it. So first and foremost, to protect your kids, don't involve them in the divorce. The longer you can keep them from even really knowing what is going on, the better off they are. They certainly shouldn't be hearing details about what happened in court today or what mom or dad is trying to make the other parent do or not do. They're already going through enough. They're blaming themselves for the divorce. You know, they think that one parent may not like them, and that's why the parent is leaving. It's a very difficult time for the children. So really, to take good care of them, keep them out of it, number one. Okay. Number two is get them some sort of counseling, no matter the age. You know, obviously, if an infant, this doesn't apply to, but sometimes people think it should only apply to the 14, 15, 16-year-olds, but really the 4-year-olds don't know how to express what's going on, but they certainly know there's something going on. And there's play therapy where, you know, it's everything from drawing to working with their hands. They need an outlet. They need to know there's a safe, neutral place where they can start expressing some of their fears, some of their frustrations, some of the things that they don't understand. Even when they don't know there's a divorce going on, they can tell there's something different. They know mom or dad is sleeping on the couch, or maybe mom or dad are just no longer in the house. Maybe they're just feeling the tension between the two parents, or maybe it's one of the homes where there's been a lot of screaming and a lot of fighting lately. The kids really need a support system, and it's a good thing to instill in them, even from a young age, so that they do get used to talking out their feelings, talking out what's going on, and that's a really important tool you want to give them from a young age if you can. So it's really another way to help take care of them. And then the rest are more practical within the divorce context itself. So, you know, in a divorce, parents are fighting over the kids and how much time the kids are going to be where. And what I have to remind clients regularly is, it's not about what's convenient for you, mom or dad. It's not about how much you're going to miss the child, because both of them are going to miss the child or children because now they're not in the same home 100% of the time. It's really about the needs of the kids. You know, do we have a child who is extremely resilient and can go back and forth between houses repeatedly every week and it's not going to bother them? Or do we have a child that really, really struggles with transitions? So really thinking and focusing on both the parents and the attorneys, focusing on the needs of the child, and every child is different. These parents are the only ones who know what their child's needs are. And just focusing on that is critical as far as a step to really best take care of those kids in that divorce process.
And most helpful information per your response. Also, how can using the mediation process avoid the often acrimonious appearances in a courtroom?
Mediation is very useful, and it's actually required in most jurisdictions. So let me just back it up a little bit there and say mediation is an informal process. And again, it's required in most jurisdictions, but it is where one spouse, we'll just say a husband in this case, is in one room with his attorney. The wife is in a different room with her attorney, and a neutral party, a mediator, goes back and forth between these two rooms and is really trying to focus on each of the issues and working through each of the issues in an amicable manner. So coming to an agreement is the whole purpose of mediation. And when parties come to an agreement outside of the courthouse, it keeps them out of that, you know, drama courtroom battle that you see on TV, which, you know, it's not exactly like that, but close enough. And it really keeps them from airing every bit of their dirty laundry in a courthouse and throwing mud, if you will, back and forth at each other. So it keeps the animosity down, which of course is in the best interest of the children. It allows both parties, both people in the couple, to make decisions about their family, about their assets, about their children, with unfettered, unfettered options, if you will. So they're in control in the mediation process. They get to make choices. They get to negotiate issues. And when you step out of that mediation process and you say, you know what, we just can't agree, and you go for that appearance in the courtroom where you're going to let the judge, the person in the robe who doesn't know your children, make decisions about your family, your finances, and your children, you're not going to be happy, because now you've lost all ability to make any of those decisions because the judge is going to make them for you. The judge doesn't know your children's needs, so it's really going to be a cookie-cutter solution. And you got two people who now are pitted against each other in a courtroom and really have to bring up all the dirt and everything that they can in order to get the best result from this judge. Families don't heal from that. You know, that's a... Not to say they can't, but that's a very difficult thing to heal from and to ever co-parent cooperatively after going through that acrimonious process. So best interest of the children to resolve it in mediation and definitely exercise that ability to mediate all the issues. Best interest of the family, the couple themselves, for, you know, being able to effectively communicate or ever be in the same room as each other again, really. Just mediation is always a better alternative to appearing in a courtroom for a trial.
Totally agree with you there. Today we are speaking with Mrs. Stacy Bowyer Fawcett, founder of Bowyer Fawcett Law Group, that focuses only on marital and family law and serves clients in southeastern Florida's Palm Beach, Broward County, Martin, and St. Lucie counties, here on eHealth Radio's Divorce and Legal Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Mrs. Bowyer Fawcett, what can divorcing couples expect when they decide to mediate their divorce?
Well, as far as what to expect, it goes back to a lot of people are worried when they are thinking about divorce that they're going to have to sit in the same room as the spouse, and that's a very, very stressful thought process. So they're very relieved when I explain to them that, no, you're going to be in separate rooms. You're not going to have to look this person in the face and try to negotiate with them, because you know, honestly, if they could do that, they would have already resolved it and they wouldn't be in my office. But, you know, they can't, and that's why they're in the legal battle that they're in. So they can expect to have the privacy of a separate room. They can expect that we're not going to let one party or the other come in and bully the other spouse. That's not part of the process. It is, like I said before, an informal process. With the privacy and comfort of your attorney in the room to advise you every step of the way. Now, when we get to that mediation step, we've already gone through a lot of other steps in the divorce process, such as gathering all of the financial information, gathering information about the children's needs and the parties' maybe work schedules so that we can work around that for time-sharing issues. And until you've done these things, you're not ready to go to that mediation. So when going to the mediation, you should expect to be fully prepared to resolve all the issues in your divorce. Again, knowing at that point all of the assets, all of the liabilities, what the income is, so that we can address how we're going to divide those assets and liabilities, how we're going to address the support needs of maybe a spouse and or the children. They can expect all of those things to be addressed that day. They can expect, assuming everybody can agree and come to a middle ground, they can expect a full resolution of all of those issues that day. If we're able to reach that full resolution, they will sign an agreement that day, which allows the case to then just proceed in front of the judge to sign off on the divorce decree finalizing their divorce.
Lastly, as a faithful Christian highly involved with the legal community, what are some obstacles facing some faithful people who choose divorce, and what obstacles do they need to overcome as well?
You know, as a Christian facing divorce, you do have a lot of obstacles, and one of them is living with and overcoming the amount of guilt that a Christian faces when going through a divorce, overcoming the fact that they may feel like they've disappointed God or they've not been successful at staying married. And sometimes it's not their fault at all. And Florida is a no-fault state, so if one party wants to get divorced, the divorce is happening. We don't have a choice. So Christians who don't believe in divorce are still facing divorce whether they like it or not. And overcoming that emotional burden and, you know, really being able to start afresh and anew is a difficult process for a Christian facing divorce. Many Christians facing divorce have been rejected by their church family. Some of them have been kicked out of their churches. Some of them served maybe in the children's ministry of their church and have been asked to step down because they're going through a divorce. So they're really facing a lot of judgment, a lot of rejection, a lot of isolation, guilt, and these things are critical to overcome. It sometimes means starting with all new friends, all new church family, all new church, but really just knowing that's not the way that it has to be, that they do need to go ahead and move forward and start fresh and start with a nice fresh start.
Stacy, thanks so much for joining us here today. A really important topic, something that is real life stuff, and you've covered it very well, and we really appreciate it. Where can listeners get more information on your firm, and how could one be in touch as well?
Our website, it has a plethora of information and all kinds of question and answer segments as well, and the website address is www.blgfl.com. Once again, blgfl.com.
Once again, Stacy, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and certainly wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mrs. Stacy Bollier Fawcett, founder of Bollier Fawcett Law Group, that focuses only on marital and family law and serves clients in southeastern Florida's Palm Beach, Broward, Martin, and St. Lucie counties. And for more information, visit blgfl.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Divorce and Legal Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.